Welcome to episode 72 of the Livonia and Sarah podcast. Each week we discuss holistic approaches to weight loss and well-being as we work at improving our own health and wellness. We share our stories about what we've learned through experience and research in the hopes we encourage others to improve their health too. We're so happy you're here. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Livonia.
And I'm Sarah. And do you know complaining constantly is bad for your health? Complaining triggers your body to release cortisol, the stress hormone, shifting you into fight or flight mode. So when you're complaining, whether it be an internal dialogue to another person or social media, you're in a constant state of stress, and stress is not good for your mental and physical well-being. Have you ever tried going 24 hours without complaining? That takes mindfulness. Could you do it? In today's episode, we talk about what complaining does to you mentally and physically, and ways in which we can all try to complain less. But before we dive into our complaining episode, let's have a catch up. Our last challenge was personalizing your diet. How have you got on, Livonia?
Well, I have done this. I did, but we're in the middle of renovations. So, I mean, you know, one night's not going to, it's probably not even worth mentioning that we ordered pizza last night. It's really not.
Confessional.
And I don't even like it, but I was hungry. Yeah. You know, we've got all this fridge full of fresh stuff from our garden. But anyway, I have, and I've tried to turn off the noise a bit, just listening to my body more. Just doing what I know works for me. And, you know, some days are different to others. Just my hunger, what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I've been painting. So when I'm painting, I just painting, not like artwork like Sarah does.
Paint the walls.
Painting as in just painting myself, absolutely covered. Yes, yeah. I'm coming to everybody from
The new HQ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's looking fabulous.
Change room. Yes, actually, change room. So in the middle of doing a renovation on three rooms in our house. So I'm in a different room now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with a different color. I did love the dark green, but that's dark green's going to be in our bedroom. So anyway, back to my personalizing my diet. Yes, and next week's going to be fab because I love the little plates of food.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do that? Where you just put some olives, some walnuts, maybe some prosciutto, bit of cheese, bit of hummus, cucumber, radishes, you know, other crudité like that, and just sit down to a little plate of all these nibbly things. Oh, I'm going to do that next week.
So once you're straight and organized, that's the plan.
Well, no, God, I won't be straight and organized by next week, but I'm on my own.
Right. So, I was going to say, so what's the difference? Okay, I see.
Yeah, okay. I'm on my own because my husband doesn't eat dinner. So I try and make a meal for him. So he has that for, you know, as well as all these little munchy things that he has. But anyway, I don't have to worry. I can just eat my girl plate. Yeah. Yeah.
Do it yourself.
What about you? Because you've been away. So
I have been away. So the goal was to spend a bit of time thinking about the way that we eat and making a personal plan, what suits you and what doesn't. And it was very interesting actually having some time away. There was 9 people in the party. And what became very clear to me was that we all eat very differently. We all have different likes and different dislikes, and we approach food very differently. And so I thought, as I sort of sat there and thought about the way that I eat and the way that I'm personalizing my diet, I thought that's the whole point, isn't it? No one has to do it exactly the same as someone else, and it's whatever suits what you want to do and your family, which takes a bit of negotiation sometimes. The other thing that I realized about myself is that other than my binging episodes, I'm actually very happy with my food choices and my food decisions. So then I just got really honest with myself and thought the reason I'm overweight is down to my binging episodes. It's not down to my eating patterns. So I've got my personalization really well sort of planned out for myself. I know what I like. I eat very fresh food. I'm starting to eat food from my own garden now, which is incredibly exciting. So that's the bit that hinders me. That's the bit that makes me gain weight and then, you know, it impacts my health, because it's obviously not good for you even to do it in that up and down yo-yo sort of fashion anyway. So I don't really need to put too much focus on the rest of that food. I've learned all of the information now with what we've done, and it really has helped me with my food choices. So that's great. So the thing that I need to work on more is leveling out that binging, which I've done so much better on over the last couple of months that we talked about in the last few episodes. So yeah, I'm cool. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I just need to do more of it now. Yeah. Need to
Mine is, you know, because some people like to snack, but I am good at just having three smaller meals a day.
Right.
And a meal doesn't have to consist of nine different vegetables and your protein. You know what I mean? As long as throughout the day or the week that you've, you know, got your veg in, your protein in, it just, you know, it can look different for different
people. So what's
people.
Your thing then? So my thing is, the reason that I have gained weight and then haven't lost the weight as yet is my binging. What's your thing? What's your kind of your Achilles
eating
heel?
Too much.
Right. Quantity.
Eating too much. And then because, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of benefit with intermittent fasting, but I think sometimes when I go too long and I don't eat, which people would say, well, then have a snack. But then when I'm cooking dinner and when I'm making something, I'm like, you know, picking
in
as
between,
I make it. So by the time I sit down, I've already consumed 400 calories.
Right.
So that's going to be like, and that's what I'm working on with the whole mindfulness thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did an episode about mindfulness. It's just being mindful of not doing that. Like, put together my meal, but don't be eating as I'm doing that.
Yeah, so you don't have double.
You know, I've had six olives
mm-hmm.
and I go to sit down and there's six more,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that it's so easy to consume a whole lot of calories that you don't even realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, I've just had a couple of spoonfuls of hummus and stuff like that. But, you know, it's probably like 300-400 calories it could be.
So within your personalization, that's the bit that you're working on then, is to move that bit out.
Mm-hmm. Move that out, because, you know, I'm working out this week, not as much as I usually do, but good grief, painting's a good workout.
It certainly is.
Anyway, so, you know, so I'm doing that and my water's been really good, but I'm just consuming too many calories.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. And plus, I need to just do it day to day. Like today, I'm just going to focus on today, because I'm so bad at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I have to eat this for the rest of my
life.
Right,
okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have that sort of
Make
mentality
it too big.
where it's like, yeah, it's just focus on today. I guess like they teach addicts, because, I mean, it is
Mm-hmm.
food addiction,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm. Just love it. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing. I'm really just watching my sugar and gluten, because it just does not
suit
my
you.
stomach. It doesn't suit me, no.
No.
One thing before I want to preface before we get into the complaining episode
yeah.
is that this episode, that there's a difference between what we want to say is there's a difference between complaining and venting, okay? Because you have to vent.
Mm-hmm.
You have to offload, you have to vent every now and again. Also, there's a difference between needing to talk to somebody because you're feeling mm-hmm. down, sad, or hopeless.
Yeah.
And, you know, and complaining. So there's a difference between that.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess everybody knows what complaining is, the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. And we all do it,
mm-hmm.
whether it's internally. I do that a lot about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And until you have to try and do it, not do it 24 hours and be aware of it. I did this with Mel Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
If people wouldn't know her, hopefully. She did a challenge. It's a course that I'm taking with her, of not complaining for 24 hours. So you really had to be mindful. But we complain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband never complains. And I was asking him last night, like, why? And I said, I think it's a really good character trait that he has. And he said, well, I wasn't always this way. And, you know, he said he went to work for a company after owning his own, and they didn't do things the same way, and they're really unorganized. And he was like, you know, complaining to himself about it. And in the end, he decided that it's not his shit to fix. And they were, you know, he got a paycheck from them, and it didn't impact him in too much. So he just let it brush by him. And I think, you know, that was a good.
And that's what he does with everything now, is it?
That's what he does with everything. Yeah. Never I can tell when he's tired and his back sore and all the rest of it, but never complains. So then I asked the question that I think I already knew the answer to. Do I complain much? And not only did he say yes.
Was he a bit overzealous with his answer?
He was a bit, yes. He was. He said, you complain a lot.
Oh.
Yes. And he goes, and he said, I'm not being mean. He said, I'm just stating a fact. I'm like, hit me with it. I'm good. And, but about more about like my back hurts, my foot hurts, my knees hurt. I'm like, well, my knees don't hurt anymore. So cross that one off my complaining list. Or that I'm tired, usually because he's kept me awake fucking snoring, but whatever.
It's fault.
Or I'm in pain. But I mean, that's something I think that I internally complain to myself about is pain. Oh, my back, it's so sore, it's so sore, so sore. And, you know, the more that you fixate on something, the worse it becomes, right?
Well, it's interesting because I looked up about complaining, so this is actually fitting in. So it was saying that a complaint is when we feel that there's a significant gap between expectation and reality. So it's not fitting what we think something should be and what it actually is.
Right.
It's when we want to be listened to. So maybe a bit of that, if you're complaining about your pain, then maybe it's because you want a little bit of sympathy or a bit of reaction from him.
Complaining to the wrong person.
The wrong person. And also it's a habit. And we can talk more about that in a minute.
Yes.
But those were the three things I thought that there were actually a few, but they were the most interesting things for me. So the fact that there's a big gap between what our expectation is and what the reality of that is. So we've set ourselves up for it to be something and then it's not that way. So we complain about it.
Like a meal.
Yeah. Or even someone else's behavior, because we have an expectation of how someone else is going to behave. We think that's how they should be. It says who. So again, we're putting our expectation, by using the word should, means that we're putting our expectation on them rather than they could, rather than should. The fact that we want to be listened to. So it's almost a not quite as extreme, but a bit of a cry for help, you know, a bit of a, hey, what about me? So the more I complain, the more I'm expecting something to come back. Yeah. And then, the habit part of it. So it's interesting, isn't it, with that whole, when you're in pain or when you hurt yourself, if there was no one else in the room, you'd be like, if you cut yourself or bound yourself, you might swear and go, ow, and then you get on because there's no one else to see or hear it. It's only when someone else comes back home, you're like, oh, I really hurt myself. And then you talk about it because you kind of want that interaction, that feedback from someone else. So I think complaining has its role and there's lots of different reasons for it, but the habit part of it is the bit that's not.
And the constantly complaining, because too much complaining can worsen your mood, make you feel helpless and lead to a negative outlook on life. And I also believe that the more you complain about something, you just you exacerbate it. So if you're complaining about a spouse, it's so messy, then it doesn't do this, and, you know, ignores me, whatever. And it's one thing to speak to a friend about it and say, you know, I'm having issues in my relationship, but it's another to just constantly complain and not actually do anything about it. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, or maybe talk to 10 people about it, because then all of a sudden it's just grown and grown and grown, and it's become a great big thing rather than just that one. Yeah. But the negativity part is something that actually our brains are wired to be negative.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see about this? So the fact
about the hippocampus.
Yeah, and so the more it reacts more strongly to negative stimuli than it does to positive, basically from right back at the beginning, to keep us away from danger. So don't give people, you know, yourself too much of a hard time, people, to think, oh, these negative thoughts seem to be stronger. That is kind of how the human body was originally set up to work, but we don't have to live that way. So that's the good news. There are things that we can do to change it. But I don't know, would you, I'm going to ask you the question the same then you asked okay. your husband. Would you class me as a complaining person?
No.
No. And it's funny because I once had feedback, because I don't think I am anymore, but I once got some feedback from someone when my son was at primary school. There was another lady there, and I came out of the door, and I think I had been moaning. I'd been complaining. And she just said to me, I don't know her well, but she gave me the feedback anyway. She just went, all you ever do is complain. And I thought,
that's kind of being nasty, though.
Well, that may nasty. Well be, but it did give me that moment of going, do I? And then I thought, actually, I think I have been, and completely unknown to me, you know, I was like spouting it out. So I did make, this was obviously a long, long time ago, but I did make a conscious decision then to go, you know what, I'm not going to be that person. I'm not going to be the person that constantly complains. And I do try, I'm not saying that I don't complain, because of course I do, but I do try not to be negative or full of complaint all of the time.
It's funny you said that, because then that was my second thing. I said, well, you know, but I've got, I said, it's funny because I find a lot of people that complain don't always have a positive outlook on life, because it just can foster a negative attitude, right? And that, you know, not saying that everybody that complains has a negative outlook. But then I said to my husband, well, you know, I think that I'm kind of a pretty positive sort of upbeat person. And there was silence. And I'm like, don't you think? And he goes, yes. Really? I think he was then after, And I should have said afterwards, I should have said, well, maybe you just bring out the worst in me or something. But I didn't. I said, people that I work with say that. And, you know, I don't know. Guess I'm not complaining to them about the pain in my back or my feet. But see, there's a thing about, you know, I was saying about the pain in my back and about how people complain about things but don't do anything about it. Now, you know, losing all the weight that I need to lose make my back pain probably go away.
Would help anyway.
Not 100%, but it wouldn't be like it is. So I shouldn't complain about it.
And because he's a very action-driven person, do you think that is something that he then taps into with the fact that maybe you complain? And so then he thinks, well, stop bloody complaining and do something about
just
it.
Do
because
something,
he's
take
so
action.
Action-driven. Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Yeah,
so again, his different personalities would probably react differently.
But I mean, it's totally true, though.
Yeah.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there are those people that just do complain about anything. And this is something that I, some research that I found, like a continuous cycle of negative thoughts can even cause damage to the hippocampus in in your brain. That's the memory part of your brain used for problem solving and cognitive functioning. Over time, complainers become negativity addicts, attracted to the drama that comes with a complaining attitude. Complaining draws our attention to the negative aspects and circumstances around us, and focusing on the negatives, like we were just saying, that just creates and brings about greater negativity. Complaining, I liked this, complaining never results in joy. Not only sinks us deeper into our misery.
Although some people do love complaining. So maybe
They love the drama.
Yes,
I loved this.
That is
we
true.
Complain about the weather, the traffic, the weeds in our yard. We complain about tight clothing, misplaced keys, late aeroplanes, the price of gas or petrol. We complain about our jobs, our lack of jobs, our neighbors, crying babies, ungrateful children, and our spouses. We have become a society, apparently, that's too quick to complain, because you've got the keyboard warriors there, you know, complaining about everything.
But listening to that list that you just read out then, so they are all things that annoy us, which means that we're far less tolerant, I think, than perhaps previous generations, because we let things annoy us far more quickly, and then we'll very easily then tell people about that, whether it is typing it up. Whereas if you can try to not be so annoyed and just let it pass by you, you wouldn't complain about it, because you'd be like,
no,
oh well, not my problem, or don't worry, it's not going to affect me, it's not a big deal. So maybe if you then go underneath the layer of complaining, it's because we seem to be so sensitive to annoyance far more than perhaps we used to.
Or the word that I hate, getting, you know, triggered so easily. That was another thing, because he was on a roll at this stage.
The gates had opened.
He said, you get rattled easily.
Right. Yeah. Do you? But does he have a point, or do you not agree?
Well, I think things like, he said, like the mess that we're in right now with the renovations.
Oh, yeah, that does
and,
get on my
and I. And I didn't say anything, but it doesn't impact him, apart from the fact that he has to do them. It doesn't impact him in any way. Like, he gets up in the morning, nothing, everything's the same for him. For me, my life at the moment scattered about the house. So, you know, it impacts me more. But, you know, if I drop something in the kitchen, I'm like, no, you know, and it gets like a barrage of swear words. If I spill something, and I think part of that's because I'm always rushing, so that's like going to also be part of the mindfulness, is just to not get rattled.
But when you're so in easily. That situation of an annoyance, because that's what we've just described as what the complaining is, you've generally got a choice of whether you go one way or the other. So whether you then think positively about that, or you find a positive spin, or whether you then go down that negative route, which is the easiest. But it's funny that we're recording this today, because since I've been back from my holiday, I have no hot water in my house because my boiler is not functioning properly. So I've had a cold shower now. So this is day 4 or 5, can't remember.
And it's not hot there.
And it's not warm. Yeah. No. And I genuinely sort of said, you know what? Yeah, it is annoying. It is annoying, and it's not pleasant, particularly at bedtime. However, there is a fact of the matter that I'm better off than 90% of the people in the world who don't even have running water going into their, you know, where they're living. And so if you start, and I did properly, and that just sounds a bit trite, doesn't it, to go, oh yeah, you can trot out those things, but I did genuinely think about that. And as I turned it on,
put it in perspective,
one of the antidotes to complaining and then the annoyance which is underneath it is gratitude. So normally if you can look at the other side of what you're complaining about, there is something that you can be grateful for. And actually, weirdly enough, I think I've slightly getting addicted to cold showers now. I was a bit like, not that I enjoyed it, but you're like, oh, I'm going to go and do that, because you do feel
it's always good in the morning.
I think we should talk about that on another episode. But you can
the cold shower
the episode. Cold shower episodes. Apparently. But I think you can
After watching too many episodes of Bridgerton.
Plenty of cold showers. You can find something positive, can't you? And do you know, have you seen this? I saw a clip by Sir Michael Caine years ago.
Oh yeah,
have you seen it? I don't know. He was telling a story about when he was a very young actor and he went onto stage, and something they were ad-libbing and something went wrong. He basically got blocked by a chair. He couldn't get on the stage, and he said to the stage director, I can't get on. He sort of said, what's the problem? He said, there's a chair blocking. And the stage director gave him a bit of advice, which he has always used, and he's given to his children, and then is being passed on. And the piece of advice was, use the difficulty. And so he gave him the example on the stage was, if you're doing a drama, pick it up and throw the chair. If you're doing a comedy, fall over it. So whatever it is that you're coming across, which we could find an annoyance and then go on to complain about, is you use the difficulty. And Michael Caine said, even if you use it for just a quarter of a 1% to your advantage, you are ahead. You haven't let it get you down. And I was like, I love that.
I wrote it down.
We're going to come across multiple times a day things which are difficult. So when you drop things, you're like, for fuck's sake, that's the fourth time I've dropped something.
Right. And it's, an egg.
Whatever. But do you know what? We're getting more flexible by bending down and getting it. And if we... You laugh at that, but you can find, as opposed to just sitting in your chair where you're not moving, if you're bending over lots of times because you keep dropping it, yes, it's annoying, but what you are doing is moving your body and keeping yourself able and younger and active. The cold shower, it's not pleasant, but actually there's something quite invigorating about that. And actually, I think my body is responding quite positively to doing that. So maybe I've shivering like Jesus, I'm cold.
Well, vagus nerve, that's because the cold showers stimulate vagus nerve.
I think it's helping with my inflammation. I genuinely do.
Oh, I'm sure.
Wow. Okay. So maybe I've tapped into something that I didn't know was going to work for me. So most things, not everything, because there are some totally shit things that you cannot find a positive in, and that's just life. Put those to one side. I'm not talking about those. But most things, you can find something which you can take as a learning or a change or a positive from it. And I think that's, something that we can do to then use the counteracting to complaining. If you just took a moment and go, right, stop. What is it that I'm moaning about? Why am I annoyed? And then let's find the positive within that. Then I think...
Or what can I do to have it not like that? Something's just going to be out of control, like traffic.
Yeah.
But, listen to a book or so. I don't know. There's always, they're not always, like you said, but there's often a positive that you
there
can
there is. And into. Actually, in those moments when I find that, I'm going, you know what? I should have left earlier.
Right.
The reason I'm so stressed is because I gave myself exactly the right amount of time. Or if I'm honest, probably not even quite enough time. Mm-hmm. And so then that's when you always hit the bloody traffic, because it just is. When you're rushing, if you gave yourself an extra 10 minutes, you wouldn't hit the traffic probably. Or if you do, doesn't matter so much. And so,
because you've got that time. Yeah.
My learning is just leave a bit earlier. Stop leaving everything so tight on time or rushing and stuff. But I also had this, I read on this, this is not my ideas, but it was saying that one thing, candor. So to reframe your language, be really honest about things. So a bit like when your husband was saying to you get rattled. Is that true? Maybe in some situations it is. So instead of going, I do not, and trying to sort of brush
it away, I didn't say that.
Sort of you would, but some people
Not say that.
Yeah, exactly. I am not. So be really honest with yourself. Be aware of your negativity bias. So be aware if you're someone that is complaining all the time, because like that woman that said to me all those years ago,
very unattractive.
I didn't realize. I was like, bloody hell, am I? Okay, right. I'll do something about it. Keep a gratitude journal, because even if you don't write it down, try and find that gratitude moment is the reverse for things.
Which sounds a bit dicky, but it works.
It does
because
work.
It's switching your brain over. I mean, this
positive.
Isn't just about being highly unattractive to people by complaining all the time and being the victim or whatever, but it actually does something to your mental state.
Well, it drains me, don't you think, when you're around
it's
negative
draining.
I find
it's draining listening to people, but also the complaining that you do to yourself about yourself is very unhealthy.
It just pulls everything down. When I spend time around negative people, I just think, oh, I just can't wait.
God, that sucks the life energy out of you.
It does.
It's unattractive. And it's also, I think, a little self-centered, because then the emphasis is on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. So the last thing it said was to be aware of the good. So as much as you can complain and be negative, how about looking for the other stuff around it, which is good, and it just helps balance it up a bit.
And not be in victim mode, because I see a lot of people that complain constantly are often in victim mode, by being wrong done by their spouse or just life in general. I mean, life's not perfect. Shit's going to happen, but it just depends how you deal with that. Really.
And don't you think that then there's almost like this sort of belief that when you're moaning about other people that you're perfect yourself, you're like, wow, they've done this and they've done, you're like,
well, and that was something I wrote
probably
down.
Probably done it yourself. Yeah.
Before you do that, before you complain about somebody else, I mean, and I'm not talking someone that's just been a complete and utter twat to you at work or something that was so, wrong, but just, you know, in general, but focus on yourself and fixing yourself before complaining about other people. Mm-hmm. Really. I think that's something that we all need to do, and not pushing the blame onto to somebody else. Some ways to complain less is, one, embracing the recognition of the imperfect world. Being aware of it. Now, just, you know, being aware that you do it. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of people would think, well, I don't really complain. But if they're aware of it, now see and monitor yourself throughout mm-hmm. the day.
Yeah.
Understand the difference between the helpful criticism and a complaint. Avoid beginning conversations with a complaint, because nobody likes that, do they? No. You're not going to get anywhere. Notice things that trigger it too.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I'm just seeing what else I had down here. Mindless complaining serves little purpose in our life. It fosters displeasure, spreads negativity, sparks conflict.
Basically,
we live happily without it, really.
It just brings you down. It brings yourself down. It brings other people yeah. down. If people are, you're around people doing it, it brings you down again. So as you said, even the self-talk, just stop doing it. You can have a good old yeah. moan every now and then. Oops, banging the table.
Right.
But every now and then. But as a this is the constant we're talking about, people that are constantly complaining
or right.
finding the negative. There is no need for that. You don't have to be like that.
Like, stop letting everything affect you. You know, there are some people that just like, oh, this, you know, they did this, or whether it was someone rude at the grocery store, someone in traffic, you know, just stop.
Do you know
letting
what? Laughing it
affect.
Off. Laughing it off is a good
right.
way. If you just see that, yeah. just go, oh, you know, that's their problem, not mine.
Right, right. Yeah, just sort of let it. I know it sounds trite, but you have to let it brush by you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you get food that's just horrible in a restaurant and tell them about it, that to me is different. We're talking about the constant being around somebody that constantly finds the negative in everything. Or like I said, you know, I mean, I'll say to myself sometimes when I was saying about, you know, I make a mess in the kitchen or drop something or whatever, oh, God, you're such an idiot. Or, you know, why keep rushing? Or, you know, just the negative complaining mm-hmm. self-talk to myself is something that I really want to focus on. I'm going to set it as a challenge.
I was going to say, so do you think year? That could be part of the challenge? So I think we should set like a general challenge of saying, this is the challenge, go 24 hours without complaining, including that's complaining to yourself about yourself. So as you just mm-hmm. described there, that includes that talk. And I think just the first part of that is just to be aware. So because I don't think a lot of us even realize that we do it. So perhaps as mm-hmm. part of that challenge, be aware of what you're doing and then let's give it a go. Let's give it a 24-hour challenge of not complaining for a whole day.
Yeah, so you're definitely going to have to, not you, but just people listening.
Practice. Like, thank you.
Well, I do about
now. We're into the feedback.
According to my husband. But just use mindfulness to be yeah. aware of your thoughts, because that's, you know, where the complaining yeah. comes from. And, you know, if you've got something to complain about, think about how you can fix it.
What's the action you're going to
Simple
take?
Simple as that. What mm-hmm. is the action that you can take? Sarah and I were talking about how we think we should just do, having said all that, we think that we should just do an episode just complaining.
Just
like
just
normal complaining
chat.
About the normal chat about the stuff that pisses us off. That would be funny, I think. Don't you?
Oh, I do.
Oh,
think
goodness.
So.
Yeah.
You could be good at
we
it.
Hope that you join us for next week's episode where we're talking about age, just being a number. You're never too old to get healthy, to start weight training, to learn a new skill, learn a new language, start a business, become rich and successful. But society has led us to believe that once you hit 60 or beyond, it's time to retire and sit back. And for a lot of people, they're not doing that now.
Nope.
Age really is just a number. You're never too old to fulfill your dreams, create a whole new you, or turn a hobby into an empire. If you head to LavoniaandSarah.com, you'll find posts for all past episodes, recipes, and helpful information. See the show notes below to connect with us on various podcast platforms.
That word.
Right. And social media. Please go to our YouTube channel, LavoniaandSarah.com is the website. Go to our YouTube channel, the link's below. And if you could please subscribe and give us a thumbs up for a like and maybe share it with some friends. We'd love you for it. Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.